Well, it's tax time again, and I'm just wondering how many of you know how much identity theft takes place with filling out personal income tax, et cetera. If you want to learn how you can minimize the risk of identity theft,
you'll definitely want to hear this show today.
And this is Jim Blue, and welcome to the show. Well, as I said at the outset, this is the tax time, and what really is involved now is how you can protect yourself from probably the biggest area of concern, which is income tax fraud. Today's guest, and he has been with us in the past, is Steve Weissman. He's a lawyer, professor at Bentley University, and one of the country's leading experts in scams and identity theft. He writes a blog, which I recommend to all of you, scamicide.com, where it provides daily update information about the latest scams. His latest book is Identity Theft Alert. And I think, Steve, first of all, welcome back to the program.
Always good to talk with you, Jim.
You wrote a wonderful article about online tax provider side hacks. It's every single day something comes up. So, you know, I know that you've probably been inundated at this time of the year with questions about it. But, you know, can you explain to our listeners really what's involved with income tax identity theft?
You know, an interesting thing, Jim, is there have been some recent studies by the Federal Trade Commission about identity theft. And where identity theft in other areas have actually gone down in many instances, but identity theft overall has soared, and it's primarily because of income tax identity theft, which costs the federal government and we, the taxpayers, billions of dollars a year. And part of the problem is it's easy for criminals to accomplish this. It's easy for them to often avoid detection, and the government hasn't taken the proper steps to protect us. It's simple at its core. At its core, an income tax identity thief gets your name and your social security number and files a phony electronic income tax return in your name with your social security number with a counterfeit W-2. Easy to do. Then within 21 days, generally, as the IRS trumpets, they will be sending out a refund to this income tax identity thief. And the problem comes in is that the income tax identity thieves will file quickly. And so if they get their income tax return in before you do, the IRS is quite likely going to send them a refund. And that's the essence of it.
Now, it's interesting because in one of your latest articles, you mentioned that close to $6 billion in payouts are fraudulent. That's a huge number.
Oh, it
and
is.
That's what,
and
we don't even know what the real number is.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because even people who may be cynical about the federal government and what they tell us, and I'm one of those people, rely on and have great faith in the General Accountability Office. And it was their study that showed about $6 billion was being paid in refunds to identity thieves last year. And interestingly enough, they even admitted, they said, that's what we could find out. There are probably even more income tax identity thieves who have managed to get away with it. And here's an interesting reason for that. You know, wouldn't you? Because you look at it and you say, well, gee, when the real person files their income tax return, then the IRS knows there's been a problem. So how can you have even more refunds that are illegal that the IRS doesn't know about? And it's an interesting twist in the tax code. American citizens of Puerto Rico, and they are American citizens there, are required to have Social Security numbers, but they do not have to file a federal income tax return for income earned in Puerto Rico. And so the Social Security numbers of Puerto Rican citizens are extremely valuable on the black market, because what's going to happen is the identity thief will file one, they'll change the address, and they'll file one in the name of that Puerto Rican citizen. However, the Puerto Rican citizen will never file an income tax return, so the IRS may never find out that they've been victimized.
So what I'm hearing from you is that the scammers want to get to you early in the process because they'll get the money. And so when you file your regular income tax later on, the money has already been sent to these scammers, which I'm sure will be very difficult to get back. And then your report itself will be held up for scrutiny.
Yeah,
it's already been filed.
My motto is, you know, things aren't as bad as you think. They're worse. First of all, as far as you becoming a victim, so you didn't get your income tax return in before the identity thief did. The IRS flags it because now they have two returns. They do an investigation. They promise you, and this is they're thrilled about this. They said, we can get you your real refund and fix this in 6 months. Well, 6 months sounds like a long time, but frankly, the General Accountability Office is seeing that it takes the IRS more like about a year before someone can get back their legitimate refund. And they're not even, the income tax identity thieves aren't even stealing your refund because that may not be enough for them. So they make a fake W-2 and they send it in so that they get a bigger refund. And here's another part of the flaw that Congress is to blame for. When employers send in W-2s to the federal government on their employees, they send them in February or March, but they don't even send them to the IRS. The law says they send them to Social Security. Social Security doesn't get around to sending them to the IRS till July. The IRS doesn't start comparing the W-2s on the income tax returns that were filed with the ones that were sent in by employers to see if they match until July or August. Meanwhile, they've already sent the refund. So
right.
All they would have to do is just have the W-2s, change the law, have the W-2s sent to the IRS and let them match before they send a refund.
Well, we've talked in past interviews about the fact that the Social Security number is the gateway to many things going amiss. And I remember we spoke last year about how easy it is for hackers to get the Social Security number. I guess the first thing that someone should do is to understand how you can protect your Social Security number. And I know that I've been asked on many occasions, you know, when someone wants to confirm who I am, let me have your Social Security number, or let me have the last four digits. And you did discuss the last time how that really can open up the door to them getting the entire number. So can you talk a little bit about what people can do to protect that Social Security number?
Yeah, one of the things, and you're absolutely dead on right, Jimmy. The Social Security number, that's the key to identity theft. In the hands of an identity thief, you are toast at that point, and it can really have a ruinous effect on your life. So, for instance, you certainly don't want to carry your Social Security number with you in your wallet or your purse.
Or your iPhone.
Exactly. Yeah, you don't want it anywhere on your person. You don't need it. If it's your Medicare card, and here's the thing that Congress finally got around to changing the identification on Medicare cards from the Social Security number, but the bad news is if you look at the law, it's not going to take effect for people who already have your cards for about 5 years. So people who get their Medicare card don't carry that around with you either. So also when you're asked for it, there are a lot of places. I went to my eye doctor, and he wanted my Social Security number. Hospitals and healthcare providers often ask for this, which is really bad because they're the ones who have the greatest number of data breaches. They don't need it. So when you can, don't give it out as a number to companies that don't really need it. But you're
What I was going to interject is that one of the other things is that if, you know, you should not be texting or emailing any of that information to anybody.
Yeah, it's a real, you know, this is one of the biggest areas where whenever you get Whenever you get an email or a text asking for that, you can't be sure that indeed that it's coming from a legitimate source. And then even when you're sending it out, you want to send it encrypted because you don't know, is your email hacked? Is the place that you're sending it hacked? And then like you talked about, oh, well, just give us the last four digits. Well, a study at Carnegie Mellon said showed that except for people born just in the last few years, it is easy to predict a Social Security number if you have the last four digits. The first sets of numbers deal with when you were born and where you were born. And so it doesn't take long to run those through in the computer to be able to steal that number if you have the last four.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting because we talked at great length about it, you know, in a previous show. And one of the things that you said, that if they can match your last four digits of the number and geographically and when you were born, and they've got your name, your birth date, all of that stuff, it's not very difficult to run that through a program to isolate exactly what that number is. So what do people do when they're asked for their Social Security number? A lot of people will just give it to a doctor. A lot of people will just give it to, I'm not going to pick on Amazon as an example of proving who you are.
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting you mentioned Amazon because Amazon recently, their customer service gave out information to a hacker posing as one of their customers, and that information was then used to put together the information needed to make that person a victim of identity theft. You know, the more places that have your information, the more you're in jeopardy. And so the first thing is you can go back to good old Nancy Reagan, just say no. But you can say, can I give you my driver's license number or something else? And you also can ask, why do you need it? And just about every one of these institutions does not need it. Then there are some people in it was one of my my first identity theft books in which I talked about, well, you know, you can used to be able to go online to the Master Death Index of Social Security and get the Social Security number of anyone that died. And they still use this as a way of making people who have recently died victims of identity theft. And floating around on the Internet was Richard Nixon's Social Security number. So
yeah,
I thought I'd test it out. And went, checked it out, and it was the number that was floating around on the Internet. So Nixon still be the one. You can give him Nixon's number. I don't advise people to do it, but it can be done.
It's done. There's no question about it. Now, you also, in a recent Scamicide article, talked about the Affordable Care Act, which many people, obviously, who didn't have health care before, now have. And talk about how someone can get scammed from there.
Yeah, a lot of ways. One that we're seeing very much right now is because it's tax time, the Affordable Care Act is complex. And the Affordable Care Act has penalties for people unless there is an exemption who don't have medical insurance. So what we're seeing is criminal tax preparers who are telling people when they prepare the tax, you're not insured, therefore you owe this, and it can be $695 or more penalty, but that you make payable to me, and then I will forward this to the IRS. Well, you never make that check payable to the tax preparer. And in fact, there are a lot of exemptions to people who don't have the insurance. There's a whole page of them. And on Scamicide.com, we have a link to the IRS's page for the Affordable Care Act to see if an exemption does apply to you. But more than that, you either make it payable to the IRS with your tax check or you make it in response to a snail mail letter that you get from the IRS. The IRS is not going to contact you by text message or email. So people have to be very wary about that penalty.
Now, it's interesting because, again, I keep referring to your articles, which is my Bible every day that I read. You know, a lot of people use online tax providers, okay?
Yeah.
And because they don't know how to do taxes themselves, and you write about the fact that this is also a major problem because there was an instance of an online, pretty large online tax preparer site being hacked. I mean, talk about that.
Yeah, you know, and this is something where, and this has happened a lot in the last couple of years, and you've got vulnerabilities in two places. Sometimes it has been the security of these of the various tax preparation software and online companies. But what we're seeing lately is the fault's not in the stars, as Shakespeare would say. The fault's in us, because in the most recent hacking, it wasn't the data banks of the company itself. It was people being able to get at the individual accounts of the users, because people were using the same username and passwords for all of their accounts. So other sites got hacked. The passwords and usernames were taken, sold on the black market to criminals who then try them. They'll try them at banks. They'll try them at tax preparation online companies. And that's what happened here. So the lesson for us all, and it's a difficult lesson, but it's one that we have to do, is you have to have a unique username and password for all of your accounts. And it's not as difficult as it may sound. You can have a long, complex base password and then just have little variations for each account. But you've got to do that. That's essential to safe online life today.
Yeah, that's real important. We've got a couple of minutes left, Steve. I'd like you to, if you can, give our listeners maybe three or four key things that they can do to actually, not, you can't avoid it, but just minimize the risk of identity theft.
Yeah, you know, I preface it by saying there was, I used to teach at the state prison system, and there was a student of mine who was sentenced to two consecutive life sentences. So he would start a second sentence after he died. And he said, "How do you expect me to do that?" And the judge said, "Just do the best you can." So that's what we need to do. But like you talked about before, you want to have a distinct username and distinct password for all of your accounts. You never give personal information over the phone to someone who has called you or in response to an email or a text message. You've got to confirm that this information is accurate. You've got to keep your antivirus and anti-malware software up to date on not just your computer, but your smartphone. We do so much on our smartphone, and many people don't protect them.
That's really helpful, and I think the important thing to keep in mind is that, you know, don't open an attachment unless you're expecting one or know who it's coming from. You just have to be diligent. I mean, I think that's the name of the game. Steve, this has been very helpful. You know, this is tax time, and, you know, I'm sure you, as I am, are getting a lot of requests from people and saying, how can I protect my identity? And, again, as I said before, and you've stated many times, you know, you can't say there's 100% proof at any of this, but it's just a matter of being diligent and just doing what you need to do to just minimize the risk.
Absolutely. Don't be the low-hanging fruit. That's who the bad guys go after.
Very well put. Again, Steve, thanks a lot. I appreciate you stopping by. I know you're busy, and we'll do it again soon.
Absolutely. Always my pleasure to talk with you.
Great. Thanks.
You've been listening to the Keeping Technology Simple radio program. If you want to reach me after the show, the phone number is 917-921-4518. Or you can email me at jblue@bluetutor.com.